Chris Price, as many of you know, has been on this program many times over the course of the, you know, 18 years that we've been here, at any rate. Chris, this past year, moved over to Boston Sports Journal to cover the Patriots beat. He does it as well as anybody. I'm not just blowing smoke up his skirt. He does it as well as anybody that's out there. And if you're not a subscriber to Boston Sports Journal, well, then you're missing out, is what I can tell you. Because as I told you off the beginning of this program, one of the tenets of this program when we launched well in advance of social media's, you know, overuse, was that the people we bring onto the show have to have some journalistic chops, have to have some repertorial chops, have to have done a little bit of homework. And then if they don't, and we bring somebody on this show that we try to grill, and many of you have heard this stuff from other members of the media throughout the country over the course of the last 18 years when we bring them on, hey, we ask questions. We ask questions sometimes that they don't necessarily like us asking. But we do things here from a Patriots perspective, and you would expect nothing less. And Chris Price joins us here in the playbook. How's it going today, Chris?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Excellent. It's a good day. Are you going to get some downtime here the next month or so?
Yeah, I think the plan right now is to take the first couple of weeks of July off and hang that gone fishing sign out in front of the, you know, out in front of Boston Sports Journal headquarters and kind of head down to the Cape and get some time with my family and friends and enjoy a little Cape League baseball.
Attaboy.
Maybe have an adult beverage or two here or there, but just kind of get away from football for a couple weeks before things start to get really interesting.
And here's the question that I've always wanted to ask someone who's on the beat, all right, when you're away. And let's just say, and I'll just throw something out there because it's recent, right? Let's say Rob Gronkowski gets traded. What happens? Do you have to swing into gear?
You are. Yeah, you're called back. You know what? I'll say this. It depends on where you are. If you are, you know, not reachable by cell phone, if you're out hiking the Appalachian Trail or something like that, you know, you might be able to kind of get away with it. But you know, let's be honest. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago when Tom gave up the fight, we were all kind of called back off of wherever we were to write our stories. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's you have to kind of roll with it. And I am blessed with terrific family and great friends who understand that if something like that happens, we need to cut the vacation short. We need to, you know, I need to get in front of a computer. I need to make a few phone calls. We need to do whatever we need to do to be able to, you know, make sure people have all the information they need.
Sure. All right. Well, I hope that doesn't happen to you or to anybody else, because I think we all know that sometimes good, fresh reporting and points of view and opinions all come when you have a chance to kind of put it on the shelf for a while, and you can come back and sort of redirect yourself. And redirection is great. That's the challenge that we all try to find as we work day in and day out. Be that as it may, we know that there are some issues that have already been tackled in this offseason. The Patriots don't have it as bad as I think other teams may have it currently within the NFL. So the Patriots probably are getting singled out because they have a certain amount of success above other franchises that may be a little bit more, or maybe as not as scrutinized as the Patriots, but have more problems. You know, Seattle being one, Cowboys, Giants, some others like that. So what do you make of overall Tom and Rob not being around for the OTAs, but being around for mini camp? I've already given my opinion. I'll take it that you didn't hear that, so that's why I'm asking you for yours based on your observations and your knowledge of this team over the years, which, of course, everybody has largely been all in on, so to speak.
They're still a 12-14. Even if Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady didn't show up for mandatory minicamp, as far as I'm concerned. I'm kind of taking the long view here,
okay. Admittedly.
But I do think that the quarterback has left himself open to some second guessing. Let's say that he comes out and struggles in the opener against Houston for whatever reason. I'm not saying health, age, whatever it may be. If he is unable to develop, and I'm putting on my quote fingers here, a rapport with, let's say, Jordan Matthews or Sony Michel, there are people out there who will do some second guessing, and wonder if you can draw a line between the fact that he was not there for the voluntary workouts and his on-field struggles. But if he comes out and lights it up and has the kind of performance that I think we think, you know, that he's capable of having, I don't think it's going to be an issue. Again, at the end of the day for me, and I'm going to take the long view on this, this is still a team and this is still an offense that is capable of going 12-4, which should put you in the conversation for being that Final Four team. Now, is it going to be good enough to surpass, let's say, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, I don't know, whoever else you want to throw into the mix there, San Diego, Baltimore, I don't know right now. But this is a team, to me, that is still, regardless of the attendance, you know, for the quarterback and the tight end over the course of the spring, this is still a team that is on that very short list when you're talking about genuine Super Bowl contenders.
Okay. You know, I mentioned just before you came on, and I forgot where I read it today, so shame on me, but there was a poll out of the top five quarterbacks with something to prove going into this year, and sure enough, Tom Brady was number one at the top of that list. Why, after everything he's done, does Tom deserve to be at the top of that list? And again, I don't know that you would even know because you probably didn't see that, but I just thought that was a little bit on the ridiculous side.
I think that he maybe deserves a spot in the top five in the eyes of some people. I wouldn't put him at the top of that list because of what we just talked about.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he was not around over the course of the spring. And I think in the eyes of a lot of people, you know, that they may have a problem with that. I think that the quarterback has built up enough currency in his locker room with his teammates, with the veterans, you know, on that roster, that it's not going to be an issue with them. He doesn't have anything to prove to them. I don't think he has anything to prove to the coaching staff, quite frankly, but I do think that it's going to be fascinating to see the way it all kind of plays out. And again, kind of getting back to my previous point, if he does struggle out of the gate, I think he has left himself open to some second guessing, and I think it's going to be fascinating to see how that all kind of comes together. But I think I wouldn't put him number one on that list, but I do think, given the off season that he has had and given the off season that this team has had, maybe he does deserve to be in the top five at the very least.
That's fair. Number one, I thought was a bit much based on what he's done. I don't know what else the guy has to do to prove himself. And if anybody can get by, and if anybody deserves to get the benefit of the doubt, it's a guy like Tom Brady based on his track record. Now, you are correct when you say if he gets off to a slow start, that some scrutiny would be due him. Well, of course it would be. But I would say that whether he was here for all the workouts or not, just because, you know, oh my goodness, you know, are we finally, is Max Kellerman going to finally be right? And is Tom Brady finally gone off the deep end? And oh my goodness, the end is near and we're all going to panic and he's gone off the cliff. And okay, well, that's going to happen anyway. And like I said earlier, you know what? Even a broken clock is right twice a day. So you know, and I just saw a little while ago on ESPN, he's talking about Brady again. And I'm like, if there's anybody who would be least qualified to give an opinion on Brady and the Patriots, it would be a guy like Kellerman. It's a huge, huge joke, but that's okay. Again, you know, they do things for ratings at ESPN, as you well know, and the ratings aren't very good, Chris. So, and that's just the way it is. All right, so let me get you then what your first response was. What did you first think when you heard that rumor hit Twitter a couple of weeks ago about Rob Gronkowski and being traded? What's the first thing that came to your mind?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind, Jared, was the fact that there are different levels of trade conversation with this team.
Yeah.
And I've written about this in the past.
Yes.
I know Greg, my colleague, has written about this in the past. There are names that come up all the time. There are conversations between GMs and coaches that happen on a regular basis, on a weekly basis. It's more prevalent, obviously, during the regular season as opposed to the off season. More prevalent, say, around the draft. Those conversations are more frequent, you know, at those times of year. Those conversations very rarely kind of really develop into anything. Maybe is the best phrase, you know, that I want to use here. But you know, there are conversations. I've heard rumors and talk about, you know, the Gronkowski stuff. Greg reported it on our site this past spring. And so I do believe there were conversations that took place. I do not know how serious they were. And again, I want to stress this by saying that these kinds of conversations take place an awful lot.
Sure.
And they're different levels of conversations. And they're different, you know, grades of how far along they get. So I don't know if this particular conversation had any sort of legs to it, had any sort of, you know, real sustainability, or maybe it was just Nick Caserio or Bill Belichick kind of, you know, calling up Brian Gain or Bob Quinn and just kind of, you know, shooting the breeze a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, this talk happens a lot in the National Football League, whether it's two GMs kind of sounding each other out, or if it's anything real, or if it's anything substantive. So I do believe that there was some sort of conversation. I don't know how serious it was, but I do believe there was some sort of conversation at some point this offseason involving Rob Gronkowski and a potential trade.
And that would go in line with everything that's ever been said or written or opined about with this team based on what Bill Belichick has said. And he's always said, I'm going to do what I believe is in the best interest of the football team. Well, of course you are. And we believe that. And if someone's going to be nutty enough to say, you know, hey, I'll give you two ones for a guy like Gronk, okay, well, then why wouldn't you consider that? And exactly. It's quite possible something like that could have been tossed about at one time or another, or even where Brady's concerned, or where anybody else on the team is concerned. So to say that someone has never been mentioned in trade talks, I think is ludicrous, completely and totally ludicrous. Everybody's name comes up.
Yeah, too, and it's important to note here, and you've covered the team for a while, I've covered the team for a while, you never say never when it comes to the Patriots. You can't deal in absolutes, because
right.
as soon as you start dealing in absolutes, they're going to turn around and go 180 degrees on you and do something completely opposite. So,
right.
so I think that's important also to consider here as well when we're talking about New England, when we're talking about the Patriots, when we're talking about something like that.
You know, I guess the worst part about it is, Chris, is that when we think we have the Patriots figured out, something else happens to buck that trend. And so, you know, it forces almost a recalibration of our belief system here based on what we've witnessed over the last, you know, almost 20 years now since Bill Belichick got here. And that's really, I think, the one thing that keeps everybody from the quote-unquote total buy-in. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I really do. Look, you know, this franchise has kind of made its bones over the last 20 years. Going about their business in a relatively non-traditional path. And when I say that, I mean from a team building perspective. And it's also, you know, getting rid of guys, you know, a year too early as opposed to a year too late. We've seen that as well. So just when you think you have this team figured out, and just when you think you have this franchise figured out, things kind of take a left turn. And so again, I'll go back to the idea that, you know, you never want to deal in absolutes. You never want, because I mean, we all, you know, what, a decade plus, you know, we were all saying, oh, the Patriots would never go after a guy like Randy Moss. Or, you know, before that, you know, the Patriots would never go after a guy like Corey Dillon. And those are just two examples here. But, you know, when you look at the history of the team and you start to kind of settle into an idea of how they operate and what they do, they don't do well when you kind of try and hit them with some preconceived ideas as to how you should go about assembling your team, mm-hmm. acquiring players, getting rid of players, trades, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Chris Price covers the Patriots for Boston Sports Journal, joining us here in the playbook, the June edition of the playbook. Best part about the June edition of the playbook is there's only two more off-season editions to go before the regular season gets here. I don't want to wish away the summer just yet, Chris, but there's only two more still to go after this one.
And we're looking at, you know what, it's like 80-something days until kickoff.
Right.
It's, or 70-something days now until kickoff.
Yeah.
So, you know, just literally we were all in Minnesota probably, what, it feels like it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And now we're starting to ramp up, and now we're starting to get ready for another season.
Yeah, can't wish away the summer, though, definitely. So then before I let you get off to your summer, and again, thanks for the time today. I want you to know it's always appreciated when we can visit and talk a little football. But where do you think this team has set itself up right now for this offseason and until we get started in a little more than a month from now? And who, in your opinion, needs to come through in the biggest way for this team to have success this year other than Tom Brady?
Rob Gronkowski
is
the other name. I think that, you know, we talk about the quarterback leaving himself open to a little bit of second guessing. I think you might be able to make the same argument when it comes to the tight end as well. But look, I think if he's healthy, there's a reason this team has been one of, if not, you know, the last team standing more often than not when he puts together a full 16-game season. And so if he can stay healthy over a full 16-game season, again, you know, I'll go back to what I was saying before. This is the Final Four team. When you get to the Final Four, you get to the conference championship, it's all health and location and weather and all these variables. But this is a team that's part of that conversation very clearly at this stage. There are some other areas that I want to see how this team kind of comes together. mainly from a depth chart perspective, what the wide receiver position is going to look like if the Edelman suspension holds up, what the back end of the cornerback depth chart is going to look like. I want to see if Cyrus Jones can start to assert himself, both as a punt returner, especially if Edelman's gone for the first four games, as well as, you know, maybe that third or fourth corner. I want to see guys like Jordan Matthews and Braxton Berrios. And I also want to see the depth at linebacker and who comes out ahead in the race to be the starting left tackle. So there are no overriding concerns with this team. And I would, you know, kind of put them in the context of the other 32 or the other 31 teams in the NFL. There's some questions that I have about this team with training camp now a month plus away. Want to start to see how things kind of develop before we get to the kickoff of the regular season.
Funny thing is that, you know, if the Patriots are indeed a Final Four caliber team, as you put it, and I happen to agree with you, for them to have this many question marks, as you raised, you know, I think that just speaks to what the National Football League is in the year 2018. Everybody has question marks, but you touched on something that I hammer on every year, and I'm sure I'll be hammering on once the season starts this year. This is a war of attrition. He who has the most toys at the end wins.
Yeah, it really is. When you start to look at the really successful teams, and we've seen this with the Patriots over the years, we saw it to some extent with the Eagles last year, the teams that really rise to the occasion are the teams that don't always have the best starting 11 on both sides of the ball. The team that has done their due diligence when it comes to the team building process and assembling the strength of the middle of that roster, your number two guys, your number three guys, can they step up? Can they assert themselves? Can they play like starters, either in the short term or the long term? Like you said, it's a war of attrition, and the teams that get it done quite often have the best number two guys and the best number three guys come through when it matters most.
Yeah, and they have guys that are, as the Patriots have preached all along, guys that are interchangeable. Maybe not necessarily even definitive, you know, twos or threes, but guys that, you know, hey, plug and play. You know, this team has always utilized, you know, the whole next man up philosophy as well as any team maybe in all of professional sports, and that includes any sport. You name it, the Patriots have probably done it about as well as anybody. But that's truly what it means. You know, all right, next man up. One guy's out, next man, it's up to him. And they've largely been successful with that philosophy for a very, very long time because they have taken the painstaking efforts to do the due diligence on these guys, bringing in the guys that they think will fit not only their system, but the role in which they are asked to play without basically bitching about it.
Exactly. The middle of the roster guys, the guys who aren't necessarily the types that we're talking about right now. Everyone wants to talk about Brady and Gronkowski and Edelman and, you know, Hightower and McCourty. But can they get quality performances out of the middle of the roster? Can they get quality performances from guys who are backups, guys who are third-team guys? Are they going to be able to play to the level that I think everyone expects them to if they're thrown into those big moments? That's going to be the key for this team. We don't know who it's going to be, but that's going to be the key for this team going forward.
All right, Chris, two other quick things before I let you go. You just brought up one of them a couple of moments ago. The issue over Julian Edelman and the potential four-game suspension. What are your thoughts if you want to look at the crystal ball? What does it tell you? Does he serve any time? Does he get off? Does he serve the full four games? What do you think?
The fact that we haven't heard more about it since the initial ruling came down makes me start to think more and more that there's something else there. I don't think that we've heard the end of this story, so I don't know if I'm being, you know, glasses half full as opposed to glasses half empty, but I think the more, you know, the further we go down this road and there's no announcements from the league, you know, one way or another, I think it's interesting. I'll say that. It's interesting. It doesn't appear to be a slam dunk case, at least right now.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'll go out on a limb and say his sentence gets shortened.
Yeah. You know what? I could completely see that. I do. And the other thing, too, and I've brought this up a couple of times, guys have beaten this before.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that Julian's guilty, but, I mean, you know, the Richard Sherman case a few years ago is a great example of the fact that guys get hit with these four-game suspensions, and then on appeal they get it flipped around.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and say that he's going to you know, get out of, you know, missing all four games. Maybe he only gets two. Maybe he gets one. Maybe he gets the thing flipped completely.
Yeah.
Who knows? Again, I just think that ultimately, I don't think we've heard the end of the story.
No, we haven't. And I just seem to think because of the length of time, because we haven't heard a thing about this, it tells me that there's going to be, whether it's just, you know, a cosmetic thing, or whether it's, you know, just a same type of thing that, you know, Sherman got off on some kind of a questionable point. I think mm-hmm. he gets a reduction, but I don't think there's any way he skates scot-free. That's just, again, my thought on that. And actually, it could work out better because he is coming off an ACL tear, and I think we all realize that he could probably use as much time as he could possibly get in that regard anyway. And then number two, what Tom Brady said on that Instagram post over the weekend, and by saying 45, which for those that, again, aren't Spanish inclined, is 45. And we all assume that means he'd like to play to age 45. Agree with that? Can he do that? Or is it just basically trying to throw the Wolves at bay?
You know, I think part of it is kind of trying to keep the Wolves at bay a little bit. I don't know, man. I usually call BS on stuff like this. But I don't know if you heard Willie McGinnis on the Around the NFL podcast.
I did, yeah.
If he wins Super Bowl 53,
yep,
there's a very real possibility it's a walk-off
right.
for number 12. And you know what? Like I said, I mean, I usually kind of turn my nose at stuff like that. But given Willie's relationship with Tom, might put a little bit more stock in that. So, tell you what, no, ultimately, at the end of the day, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to split the difference. I'm not going to go till 45. Let's say till 43. How about that?
Yeah. I think that's a good age, number one. Number two, and, you know, I've said all along that I think that if he gets a chance to go out a winner, that I think heavy consideration would be given to that.
Yep.
But I thought, yep. again, and I mentioned this before you came on the show, I thought what, you know, Greg wrote on your website earlier today, the fact that he's trying to set himself up for life after football has a tremendous amount of merit. Why else do you go do, you know, an infomercial with Oprah, for God's sake? Because you are trying to do just that. You want to brand yourself beyond football. So if he feels like he needs to continue to brand himself like that, he will keep playing. As long as he can not suck, I think has been his quote before. And
exactly.
then and that's fine. And there's a definition on, you know, okay, what is suck and what isn't suck. And of course, that's ultimately the team is going to decide what suck is. So that's really kind of where that stands. But I see him playing. But then again, I can also see him walking away, like Greg said, if they win Super Bowl 53.
You know what? If he walks away with six rings, and I think if he goes out maybe with another MVP award, and he finishes this year, you know, you start to kind of put it all together, and you see, you know, that's the way you want to go out.
Yeah.
You know, you yes. really want to go out. What, you know, I've talked to friends before about pulling a George Costanza, kind of leaving, you know, heading out on a high note.
Absolutely.
Like, that's enough for me, and walking away, you know. So I don't think he's going to play till 45. I think that's the most definitive thing I can tell you right here in this conversation. I don't think he's playing till 45. Maybe he ends up playing till 44 or 43, who knows, but I don't think he's going all the way to 45.
I think the 44 thing would be intriguing just because Warren Moon did it. Steve DeBerg did it, right?
Yeah, Vinny Testaverde, too.
Yeah, Vinny Testaverde did it. Didn't George Blanda do it, too?
I don't know if Blanda started a game when he was 44. I know that DeBerg right now is the guy. It's like 44 years, 290-something days.
Wow.
Where he started a game for the Falcons. I think if memory serves, he stepped in for Chris Chandler.
Yeah.
And he had to start a game when Chandler was banged up. So
yeah.
Look, if he can be, yeah, that's what you're shooting for, you know, to be a little bit older than Steve DeBerg. Although I don't know, we're talking about the TB12 method.
Yeah.
I don't know what the SD17 method would entail. So maybe that's a question for Steve.
That's true. But then again, you know, if he could play at a relatively high level, to age, you know, 44 in 300 days and beat DeBerg's record, man, would he sell a lot of product.
Exactly. You know what, too? And this is one thing, I'll leave you with this here. This one thing that we really can't discount is what I call the Oprah impact or the Oprah bounce. And look, she's introducing him in the TB12 method to a whole new group of people. And if you get that Oprah Book Club sticker on the TB12 method,
you are golden.
Another million books. Man.
Just
yeah, you're golden.
Start printing money.
Exactly.
Start printing money. The final thing I had today was, and I'm opening this up to the audience for the second hour of the show, so I'm going to let you start. Today is Ask Anything Wednesday. So I want you to ask me anything that you've ever wanted to know about me, about the team, that you think that I might be able to educate you on, or even if it's something personal. There's nothing out of bounds. There's nothing off limits. Ask me anything.
What is the most important thing for someone who wants to break into the business of sports journalism to know?
Ooh.
You can boil it down to what's the most important thing.
One important thing to know before you get into the business?
If I'm a senior in college,
yeah.
They majored in journalism,
yeah.
You can give them one piece of advice.
I would say right now, read a lot. Read a lot. Try to write, too. But even if you can't write, read everything you can get your hands on. I would become a voracious consumer of media. I would read Twitter. I would read websites. I would subscribe. I would read books. I would read magazines. Yes, I would still read newspapers. I realize that that's a dying, you know, breed out there. But I would read everything, because you cannot be in the media unless you know what is going on around you. How's that?
I like it. Sounds perfect.
Okay. Chris, you're the man. Thank you for the time today. I hope that you enjoy the Cape immensely. I know you will. I may even see you out there. I have a couple of students, by the way, who are broadcasting games on the Cape this summer that I promised them visits. So, you know, I may get out that way at some point in time.
I love it. Sounds great. We will connect very, very soon, my friend.
Yes, sir, we will. Thank you so much for the time.
Take care.
You got it. Chris Price, who covers the Patriots for the Boston Sports Journal. He's been doing it for pretty close to 2 decades, I think, himself, right off the bat. He's always good enough to give us his time here. Hopefully you read him. Hopefully you follow him on Twitter, at CPriceNFL.